God is a faithful God. There are many types of leaders in our world. I was watching some documentaries, listening to while working on our house this week about Adolf Hitler and his leadership styles. We know all the atrocities, or at least many of them. We've heard of many different atrocities that he has done. And the wickedness that really spewed from his heart. But as I was listening to these, I was thinking about his leadership style. Many people disrespected him, at least many of the upper military leaders, because the German military leaders before World War II were from the aristocracy. And here, Adolf Hitler during World War I never even passed corporal in position. So they already struggled with him. And yet, as his leadership style, it was his way. Everything was his way. It came to the point that when he was making decisions in war and for battles, that he bunkered himself in, even to a degree from his own military leaders, his council, to give him advice on the best way to do things. When it started out in the war, he wanted to lead from the front, his way to at least get some of these upper military leaders to respect him and to look at him with respect. So he began leading from the front. He had a special train built so that he could continue on, and it was fortified. He had a small bunker built in one location, and that ended up being the front of that battle, and then they had victory, and so he ended up having another bunker, a little bigger, built in another section. And then he had another one closer towards Russia, and he barricaded himself in there, and there was some immediate victory in Russia, and the military went forward, but he stayed right there. He didn't listen to his leaders. Now, I'm thankful that he didn't have success. Amen. He was a wicked man. Amen. And yet, we see from his leadership style that he was one who didn't want to listen to advice. He was one who didn't want to do it God's way. Of course, that is a given. He was not one that we would classify a servant leader. Even in the midst of his wickedness and destroying the people that he did, he wasn't about trying to build friends with his own leaders. There are many hours that he would spend during the day. He'd have a couple hours of meetings that he'd do with his leaders, and then otherwise he'd go have tea and enjoy time with a couple friends. I mean, the rest of the day. I mean, he would do his own things. But when we looked at Philippians chapter 2, we saw that Jesus was a servant leader. It wasn't about doing his own thing. And you'll do it my way. Now, the reality is, if we don't obey, there are natural consequences for sin. And the first of that is hell. Hell is a reality. But the thing about that is God doesn't want us to go to hell. In fact, he sent his only begotten Son that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. When Jesus Christ came down to this earth, he came not to be served, but to serve. He washed his disciples' feet. He spent time in prayer alone with his Father. He went about doing good, Matthew says. He cared about the needs of the people when they were hungry. Yes, potluck is coming. He cared about the physical needs that people had when they had problems. The man who couldn't walk, who was lowered down through the roof. He didn't say, "Get back up there, you're messing up my message." He was a servant leader. Jesus was and is the ultimate servant leader. Now, when we stop and look at our lives, we realize that we all are leaders. You may say, "But I'm only 11. You are a leader. You may not lead in the way that other people lead. You may not lead a nation. You may not lead an army. You may not lead a church. You may not lead a Sunday school class. But you are a leader. We all lead in different areas. At home, there's different levels of leadership. Yes, God has put the husband as the leader of the home, but there is the role of the wife, the mother. And yet, we look at siblings, and maybe you're here and you've got younger siblings at home. There is a point that God has made you a leader, not the boss of your siblings. You listen up because I'm older than you. But a leader that they look up to, that they follow. It was very interesting. Josiah was saying something, I think it was this morning, something that Leah was doing. And I said, bud, she learned real well from you. As a six-year-old, Josiah is a leader. Now, what kind of leadership do you and I portray? Are we a servant leader like Jesus Christ? Or are we only concerned about me and what is going to help me and my feelings and my agenda? The ultimate aspect of Adolf Hitler's leadership led to his own demise. Again, for which we are thankful. But it did lead to his own destruction. As we've watched other leaders here on earth, we see some that they're only concerned about themselves and don't care about anybody else. And sometimes it seems like they're getting ahead in this world. But God knows. Jesus is the example that we should follow in our servant leadership. As we turn in our Bibles back to Joshua chapter 19, we see some more divisions of the land. Joshua was the leader that God had ordained for the nation. He followed in the footsteps of Moses. And yes, Joshua was the leader, and then they had different leaders of the tribes and different leaders of different aspects of the nation. But Joshua was, if you will, the ultimate earthly leader for the children of Israel at this point in time. But he was not the end of leadership. He was to follow God. In fact, we're reminded of that, and we saw that as we started the book of Joshua and our study in Joshua, that he was to follow God. And that he was to follow the word of God, let the word that he was to meditate on, how often? Day and night. And that it would make a difference in his life. And a difference in his actions, a difference in his thought processes. So a servant leader is one who looks at Jesus Christ and follows his example. Looks at, in Joshua's sense, he was looking forward. He knew the promised Messiah. He was looking at God. He was looking at the Word of God and letting it direct his leadership style. Good leaders have different personalities. And as all of us are leaders, we must be godly leaders. We must be servant leaders. Before we get into the word, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your love. Would you help us today to see from Joshua's life his servant leadership? God, would you help us then to apply that to our lives, that this week we would be different leaders, not because of who we are or because we're trying to better ourselves, but because we let your word change the way we live. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Joshua chapter 19, we see some more divisions of the land. We see the ultimate ending of dividing the land. Earlier in this book, after they had conquested and they had conquered all of the other people who lived there and they conquered the land, they began dividing out the land. Some were eager and ready. In fact, some Moses had already given land to on the other side of the Jordan. But others were eager and ready. We remember Caleb. There were two men who were able to enter the promised land who were older than 20 at that certain stage of life. It was Caleb and Joshua. We saw Caleb, he was ready to go and get his land. But we looked at last week in chapter 18, we saw that there were people, as they were assembled together at Shiloh, there were others that needed to have their land. They were just kind of comfortable in the status quo. They were okay with what they'd been given. Yeah, they knew God had promised them things, but Joshua's like, you've got to go on. You've got to get into the land God has promised. And so he sent out different men as leadership, three from each tribe of the seven tribes that hadn't had their land yet. So they went and surveyed the land, brought back the report to Joshua. They divided it up, and then they divvied it out. And that's what chapter 19, much of chapter 19 is dealing with. Chapter 18 dealt with that. But chapter 19 deals with the rest of it. And the second lot. So chapter 18 was predominantly the first of those seven. Chapter 19 here, and the second lot came forth to Simeon, even for the tribe of the children of Simeon, according to their families. And their inheritance was within the inheritance of the children of Judah. And they had in their inheritance Beersheba and Sheba and Molada. And we could continue reading through these. And you say, well, man, this is just a bunch of names. What's the purpose of it? We know, one, that all Scripture is given by what? Inspiration of God. God didn't have to put these in there. There are so many different lessons. Even as I've listened to messages on Joshua chapter 19 and seeing so many different lessons that people have drawn out and seen from the division of the land, and really even looking at Simeon's life, just incredible to think through some of those things, and yet how God blessed him and gave this land, and just so many different things about that. But today, as we look at Joshua chapter 19, I don't want us to focus on all of the other tribes and their division of the land. We've seen a lot of them, and we've really focused in on them. But I want us to go down to the end of chapter 19. And we see one final division. The 12 tribes had been given their land. The 12 tribes and Caleb had been given their land. But Joshua was promised some land as well. Verse number 49. When they had made an end of dividing the land for inheritance by their coasts, the children of Israel gave an inheritance to Joshua, the son of Nun, among them. According to the word of the Lord, they gave him the city which he asked. They gave an inheritance to Joshua, which he asked, even Timnath-Serah in Mount Ephraim. And he built the city and dwelt therein. These are the inheritances which Eleazar the priest and Joshua the son of Nun and the heads of the fathers of the tribes of the children of Israel divided for an inheritance by lot in Shiloh before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. So they made an end of dividing the country. As we look at these last three verses here in Joshua chapter 19, we're reminded of the servant leadership that Joshua displayed. And that as you and I go through life, there are three specific actions, three specific characteristics that we need to develop in our lives so that tomorrow I can be a servant leader too. In whatever field of leadership God has called me. Whether it be great in authority at work or as a sibling to my younger siblings, being that example that God wants me to be. A servant leader must yield in three distinct areas of life. Yielding isn't always fun. When you drive a car, you're thankful for yielding, at least for others when they yield to you. And you see those yield signs, and some, as you go through driver's training, you study these different signs and know when you have to yield and when you don't have to and what this yield sign means. And I don't have to stop. A stop sign is not a yield sign. It is a complete stop. And we can go through all those different things. But the reality in the Christian life, if I'm going to be a servant leader, I must yield to God. Not simply on Sunday mornings because that's the time I need to yield to Him. But I must constantly yield to God. First, I must yield my mind to God's mind. Yield your mind to God's mind. Really, we see that throughout all of Joshua's life. And we see that he wasn't all about himself. Joshua chapter 1. Go back to Joshua chapter 1, if you will. Beginning at verse 6. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying... Joshua was a servant leader because he yielded his mind to God's mind. He didn't do only what he wanted to do. He didn't say, hey, this is how we're going to fight the battle. We're going to go this way and this is what I'm going to do. He was listening to God and yielding his mind to God's mind. And the first area of life this touches is his relationship with other people. Now, as we look around, we each have relationships. All of us have relationships. It affects every area of life. Whether it be at school, which is coming up soon, kids, I know that. Whether it be at work. Whether it be at home. Wherever we are in life, we all have some sort of relationships with people. But as a good servant leader, I must think of my many human relationships over my own self. We see that in Joshua's life. He served by dividing the land. He led them in through conquest and through this whole time of battle. It wasn't necessarily what was easiest. And he had led in the past. He stood against the crowd when 12 men went to spy on Canaan. 10 were bad and 2 were good. He was a servant leader, thinking of others. Because in the reality, even as he stood with Caleb, it wasn't simply, listen to us, our way is the best way. It's listen to us, God can do this. He was thinking of the other people's relationships, even with God. He had to wander all those years just like the others had to wander, only he got to live through it and go on. He was a servant leader who thought about others. He yielded his mind to God's mind. In chapter 18, he yielded his mind by serving God, not simply thinking of others, but he yielded by serving God. He yielded by serving the people and wanting what was best for them in the land, in the division of the land. And really, even in chapter 18, as we saw that, he went to divide the land. They divide, and the whole congregation of the children of Israel assembled together at Shiloh and set up the tabernacle of the congregation there. And the land was subdued before them. And there remained among the children of Israel 7 tribes which had not yet received their inheritance. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, how long are ye slack to go to possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers hath given you? Guys, God has blessed you. Go take it. When he was yielding his mind to God's mind, he was concerned about them and their relationship with God. He was concerned about them and that they would receive the inheritance that God had given them. Why is it that we have VBS? We're concerned about our area, that they receive the gift that God has given in salvation. And desiring to reach out with a life-changing gospel. Joshua, as a servant leader, he thought about the many personal human responsibilities and relationships that he had. And he loved them and wanted what was best for them. He could have said, okay, I've led you through this part. There you go. But you remember what we just read in Joshua chapter 1, verse 6? He was to divide the land that they were given from God as an inheritance. He wanted to make sure he fulfilled God's command. Yes, for himself, but he was concerned that they received what God had given them. And the blessings. Yield your mind to God's mind as you think about the relationships God has given you. Wanting God's best for the other person. Not just whatever is best for the other person, but God's best. Some things may seem best for a time being, but is it God's best? And that's what Joshua's desiring here for these people. Hey, why aren't you going to receive this land? So he sent the people out to investigate the land. And to search it out. Verse 4, give out from among you 3 men for each tribe, and I will send them, and they shall rise and go through the land. As a leader, he's not dictating you, and you, come here. Now, sometimes leaders have to pick out people. But he's saying, hey, you guys pick out these men. Give them out from among your tribe. I will send them out, because you need to go take this land that God has given you. He said, go through the land and describe it according to the inheritance of them, and they shall come again to me, and they shall divide it into seven parts. Again, as leader, he oversaw these things, but he sure didn't do it all, did he? A good leader knows how to develop other people. And that's what he's doing. He's thinking about these other earthly relationships, developing them as an older sibling. Look at me and follow me, because I'm what you want to be like. But the reality is, you want your siblings to develop into a godly person too. As parents, we want our kids. Why do we discipline and why do we set boundaries? Because we want them to develop into godly individuals. As other leadership roles we have in Sunday school or in church, in the church leadership, or even at work in the leadership roles that you have. It shouldn't simply be, let's just get a job done. Let's develop other people so they can be best before God in their life. Joshua was concerned about these people. Part of him yielding his mind to God's mind was being more concerned about them being right with God than making himself comfortable. Joshua listened to other people. They divided the land. He said, bring me word, and then they can divide the land. Verse 5, they shall divide it into seven parts. Judah shall abide in their coast on the south. And he's going through verse 6, describe the land. So he's listening. As a servant leader, yes, he had to think of others. And part of that mean he just needed to listen at times. Would you just be quiet so you can listen? You ever said that to your kids? Just listen. I can solve your problem if you'll just let me speak. But sometimes we have to take the time to listen so we can do that, even as leaders. Joshua took this time to listen to these wise people. Did these people go and get everything that they wanted, that they were to take already? Not yet. Joshua kind of had to push them out of the nest like a mother bird does. Hey, let's go. God's given you so much. And yet he still listened to them. He didn't say, forget you guys, I got to do it myself. He developed them, and he listened to them. It's been said that leaders who refuse to listen will eventually be surrounded by people who have nothing helpful to say. Oh, man, we see that. In our illustration of Adolf Hitler. In his own ways, he refused to listen to his leaders who knew more about battle and stuff. And again, we're thankful for that. But he ended up with people who were not, didn't help him in his agenda. But in our lives of leadership, we must listen. Having the mind of Christ, meaning that I need to think like Christ about other people and wanting what's best for them with their relationship with God. But it wasn't just enough for Joshua in his servant leadership to yield his mind to God about his human relationships. He needed to yield his mind to God about his heavenly relationships. His one with God. Thinking of his heaven relationship. He served the Lord by worshiping. Chapter 18, they went and they gathered at Shiloh, the congregation. They set up the tabernacle. Here, the end of verse 49. Beginning, actually, at the beginning of 49, when they had made an end of dividing the land for inheritance by their coasts, the children of Israel gave an inheritance to Joshua the son of Nun among them. According to the word of the Lord, they gave him the city which he asked, even Timnath-Serah and Mount Ephraim, and he built a city and dwelt therein. These are the inheritances which Eleazar the priest and Joshua the son of Nun and the heads of the fathers of the tribes of the children of Israel divided for an inheritance by lot in Shiloh before the Lord, at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. So they made an end of dividing the country. There was something special about this place, Shiloh. They gathered together to worship God. You know, it's interesting. What is a church name we often will hear? Shiloh. In fact, back in Muskegon, we had two Shilohs. One was a Baptist church, Shiloh Baptist Church, and then there was one that was a lot bigger and more people knew, Shiloh Tabernacle. They were more charismatic in what they did. But we see this as a common name. Why? Because they gathered together to worship. And so the desire of people who their church is named Shiloh is to, hey, this is where we're going to gather together and worship. Jeruel, taught by God. Man, we come so we can learn from God and grow in Him. But we see Joshua, he was concerned about his heavenly relationship. What does God want? Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, what did he have to meditate on there and day and night? The Word of God. That I would be more concerned about me being right with God than me doing what feels comfortable in life. Comfort isn't the goal. Walking with God is. And as we walk with God, He gives peace that passes all understanding. Sometimes that means He gives us peace when it sure doesn't make sense to have peace. Because we're yielding our mind to God's mind. And His way for life. And it just doesn't make sense. As a good servant leader, I must yield my mind to God's mind. But this week, if I'm going to be a good servant leader, I should also yield my needs to God's provision. Yield my needs to God's provision. Joshua, as leader of this nation, could he have said, this is my land first. This is where I'm going to be. We're setting this all up, taking care of me because I'm the leader. And there's a point of taking care of our leaders. God's word has made that very plain and clear. To take care of our leaders. But Joshua wasn't concerned about this, what you need to do for me. He waited. In fact, he made sure everybody else had their stuff that God had promised, and then they said, here you go. Could it have been different? Maybe the people, the children of Israel, could have said, hey, let's give him his land that God has promised. Caleb went early on, didn't he? Was that wrong for Caleb? And Caleb wasn't first, but man, he was ready. He's like, hey, give me that mountain. I want what God's given me. I'm going to go conquer. Joshua had work yet to do. He had to go build a city. I mean, he had work to do, but he waited. So they could have taken care of him maybe a little earlier. It would have been okay. But as a servant leader, he didn't force his way. He yielded his needs to God's provision by trusting God's timing. God's timing doesn't always make sense, does it? Man, I was texting a cousin who's going through some difficult times in his life and ministry, and the Lord just allowed them to adopt a couple kids a few months back, and now he's without a job, and he's like, what is going on? God's timing is always incredible, not always humanly easy. The children of Israel, when they went to conquer the land, was it humanly easy? No, they had to trust God and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus. They had to yield to God's provision. And that's what Joshua, as a servant leader, is doing. He's yielding, God, you know I've got needs for where I need to live. And you know that I've got needs that you promised you would give me. But God, I will trust your timing for it. It may not always make sense. God, why did Caleb get his first? He wasn't jealous of that. But in his mind, hey, God, I was faithful. There were only two of us that were able to enter the promised land who were before all of that wandering. I'm one of them and I'm last. But he trusted God's timing. As a servant leader in home and work and wherever it is, would you trust God's timing? It doesn't always make sense. But Joshua trusted God in his timing. He waited until the end. He waited quite a bit after Caleb. But he trusted God's timing. And as I wait and yield my needs to God's provision, not only do I need to trust God's timing, but I must trust God's way. It's not always easy. God, I don't understand why you're allowing these things. I don't understand what you're doing. But I will trust your way. The people thought about Joshua. What did they think? Well, we know at the end they did think, because it said, again, in verse 49, when they had made an end of dividing the land for inheritance by their coast, the children of Israel gave an inheritance to Joshua, the son of Nun. Hey, they thought about him. Could have been easier, again, for him to receive it earlier. Or just, wow, thank you, Lord, for this provision and be refreshed and ready to lead again. But he had to lead faithfully all through this time, waiting for God's way and his provision to come through. God did. And the people thought of him. God had a plan from the beginning, and it wasn't foreign to God. It wasn't, oh, I guess he didn't get his land yet. What are we going to do? Man, they divided all this land. What's going to happen? God had a plan. He knew what was going to happen. God allows us to go through things sometimes that don't make sense to us, But he has a way. He works. And Joshua had to trust God's way for his life as a servant leader. God, I'm going to trust what you're allowing me to go through. I'm going to trust your timing and when you're allowing me to wait. The wait game is hard. But God is faithful. God, I'm going to trust why you've allowed this to happen in my life. I don't understand. Job went through a lot of those things. God, why all these boils? Why my kids dying? Why all of my stuff destroyed? My animals killed? But he didn't follow his wife's good advice. Curse God and die. He trusted God's way. Now, granted, in Job's situation, God allowed who to work? Yeah, I mean, you know it. I mean, Satan went to God and said, can I do this? Which again reminds us God is ultimately in control. Whatever happens in our life is happened by God allowing it. That we might, as Job says, be tried and come forth as gold. Joshua was trusting God's way and trusting God's timing. As a servant leader, that's what it requires. Trust God. Yielding my needs to God's provision. My emotional needs, my physical needs, God, you'll work through those. And number three, as a servant leader, I must yield my work to God's power. Joshua had to yield, yes, his mind to God's mind so he could think about others and have that right relationship with God. He had to yield his needs to God because there was nothing he could do. He could have forced it in his own way, but that wouldn't have been a servant leader. But now he needed to yield his work to God's power. God had to do all this that he was doing. We're reminded from Joshua 1, as we looked earlier, meditating on God's word brought what? Success and changed life because it changed the way he thought. And it allowed God's power to flow through him. And as you and I this week go to be a servant leader in whatever realm it is, I must let God's power flow through me. Again, not easy, but it's by yielding to God. What is it we want to teach our kids as we discipline them? You need to obey. How? By yielding in your heart to God, no matter how young they are. Some, it needs to start by yielding to the point of salvation. Teach your kids young. That's why you discipline them, because God holds us accountable. But they need to yield to God. As our kids get saved and grow, they need to yield to God. As our teens continue to grow and want to live for God, what do they have to do? Yield to God. And as adults and as the lifestyle that we go through as being a servant leader, what do we have to do? Yield my life to God so that God's power will work through me and that it's not in vain. That we don't build it in vain, the psalmist reminds us. In verse 51, these are the inheritances which Eleazar the priest and Joshua the son of Nun and the heads of the fathers of the tribes of the children of Israel divided for an inheritance by lot in Shiloh before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. So they made an end of dividing the country. Let God work through you and others' lives. That's what Joshua kept doing. Throughout the entire book of Joshua, we see that he let God work through him to bless the children of Israel. He let God work through them to help them as they divided and conquered the land. He let God work through them to kind of push some of them that needed that little extra nudge. Go do what God has told you to do. He let God work through him. He didn't do it in his own strength. He didn't pull up himself by his bootstraps and say, here I go, we're going to do it. He had to take responsibility, but he let God's power work through him. Because God's word made the difference in the way he thought. Here, even at Shiloh, we see they're worshiping God. This is the place. We've got to just move on. Again, one of those aspects, yes, we come to church and worship God. And often we think of our Sunday morning services, our worship service. But it's much more than worshiping God. Here at Shiloh, they worship God and we're kind of nudged to go do the right thing. And as we come to God's house and as we worship him through singing, through listening and responding to the word of God, our hearts are tender and we are nudged to go do what God wants us to do this week. And pushed off, I got to obey. I got to do what's right in my life and take that next step spiritually. Joshua let God's power work through him so these people could. please God with their lives. He had a priority of the people. He had a priority of doing it the Lord's way. Because it says, before the Lord, at the door of the tabernacle. It wasn't about doing it in his own strength and in his own might. Hey, I'm going to tell you what to do and you got to do it this way. Wait a second. Being that servant leader. I want to help develop you to be that godly individual that God wants you to be. As pastor at Jeruel Baptist Church, I don't teach every class, do I? I can't. But man, I want to help every one of our teachers develop to be the godly individual. As pastor, that's my burden for you. You are a servant leader. What will you do this week? Yield to God and yield to His way. And let God work through you, not only in others' lives, but let God work through you in your own life. That God would make that difference. What did Joshua have to do? He went and he built the city. Verse 50. According to the word of the Lord, they gave him the city which he asked, even Timnath-Serah in Mount Ephraim. And he built the city and dwelt therein. He was busy working for the Lord. You know, I wonder if it came to his mind that it sure is different to build your own city than to build one for Pharaoh. He was alive then. But as servant leader, he was concerned about glorifying God with his life and helping others to glorify God in their lives. If you will be a good servant leader this week, you must yield to God. So what area of your life do you need to yield more? Do I need to yield more? Man, I want to be a growing spiritual servant leader. Not one who just reached a certain point and that's where we stay. No, we need to grow in our servant leadership every day. Let's yield to God. Yielding to God and God's mind. Yielding to God for His provision. Yielding to God for His power. Let's be servant leaders this week. And let God make the difference in our lives.